There's two more weeks of Galatians. This week, chapter 5, and next week, chapter 6. And then we'll move on to Gospel of Mark, actually, in September and October. Some highlights from that gospel. So in Christ, we're going to be reminded here, we live our Christian freedom by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul links those two together so powerfully. He's experienced it in his own life that he can live out of the power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he can live out his Christian freedom. And it's very typical of Paul to move from a more doctrinal, theoretical set of arguments in his letters to turn to the practical in the latter part. If you look at that, his letters, especially those small ones, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, and those kind of letters, there's a doctrinal part where he talks more deeply, and then he goes on to more practical matters of how we are living as Christians. And so that's why I introduced the head knowledge, you know, you get the knowledge of what you need to know, but this has to then flow into the real world. In a sense, Paul is doing a very good job of preaching, as he knows you have to move from arguments to the living it out, living out your faith. From the biblical world in which you are receiving the truth from God as revelation, you have to move to the real world where who we are and what we do makes all the difference. Who we are and what we do. So it's crucial and important that he is turning to talk about what kind of things the Galatians must do to show they are not of the law, but are of the Spirit, living in the Spirit. You see, we are nothing without the indwelling power of the Spirit. The Spirit makes us become Christ-like. And he grants the Spirit, by his power, grants us the ability to live as lighthouses, showing forth the freedom granted by trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we shine our lights into the world. We are all lighthouses to shine into the world, especially not even on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday as the week goes on. You know, what we're doing is radiating the love and joy and knowledge of Christ into the world. So I did summarize the message a little bit by these three sentences. Again, three slides that talk about the summary. Paul is reminding the Galatians to stay true to their original calling and not be diverted from it. And that's found in the text here in chapter 5, 7 and 8. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. It comes from another source. It comes from the world. It does not come from God. And these things are going to try to knock you off track. They're going to try to come in to prevent you from getting where you need to go in terms of serving the Lord and being a person who is honoring him and living out a life that is Christ-like. Paul is reminding us in chapter 5 that their freedom in Christ results in a beautiful life of service and love. And that's why we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, which is actually a powerful passage. It's so beautiful because if you live this way, you are going to be a person who is going to have the fragrance of Christ being given off. It's like approaching a beautiful flower, you get attracted to it. It's like someone to whom in there's the indwelling power of the Spirit, there's love, there's grace, people want to be drawn to you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is about putting up with other people and their problems, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The law is meant to make you alive to these things, make the fruit grow. And then the final summary part is, once filled with these things, your freedom found in Christ will result in a life full of the Holy Spirit, where there's no longer any room for the terribly destructive behaviors that the law was designed to prevent. Thou shalt not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you should not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor, those kinds of things in the law. And here it is in this chapter 5, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious, and we'll talk about those a little bit later, be reminded of what they are. Let us draw near to the Lord in a word of prayer, just to pray for our time with the text. We're going to read a little more text here. Dear Lord, in this time, this holy hour, let's listen to your text. Let's listen to your revelation given through your servant Paul, granted to us. May you give us traction, Lord, to have a more fruitful experience with your Spirit, growing these fruits of the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, for a congregation of people, the community of faith, in which these fruits grow. Some people grow them more easily, and some of the people are characterized by some of these fruits. And so we thank you, Lord, that we can look to each other for role models of kindness, role models of goodness, role models of self-control. And thank you, Lord, that you help us grow in the Spirit every day. Amen. So Galatians 5, verse 1 is I think the point of the whole book of Galatians. It's really the focal point. Paul finally says in chapter 5, verse 1, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Stand firm. It's, an analogy is the concrete houses of Guam, right? Built to withstand a typhoon. Something that'll stand firm. Not a Quonset hut, which were all blown away in some typhoon some long time ago. Or like a person who's trying to withstand a flood. The flood, the stream's overflowing and you got to find a firm footing. Or like the story of build your house on a rock. Don't build it on the sand. You've got to be able to have the ability to withstand the pressures that come against you to try to knock you off course. And Paul is definitely saying they're in danger of being knocked off course. And then I just want to turn to the end of the chapter. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. The conceited thing was kind of like what I was talking about. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, which is about hierarchy in the world. You know, someone gets up on the top and another person gets down below. And that's this conceited thing. You get full of pride and you despise the others. It's like the problem the Jews had, feeling they were the chosen people and anyone else is to be pitied because they're the Gentiles and they're unclean. Well, Paul is saying, let's draw together into Christ, who will keep us humble. We serve him in humility. So, there is a door to freedom that Paul is saying, walk through this door by faith, trust in the Lord Jesus, and walk through this door and live in the freedom of the power of God, live in the freedom of knowing Christ. And by faith, you follow Jesus Christ through that door. But Paul says there's another road you can go down, which leads you away from Christ, the law, the way of the law, the way of the circumcision party, and it'll make void your faith in Christ and all of the heavenly benefits that obtain for you in Jesus Christ will be nullified if you follow what is being you're being persuaded to do, follow the way of the law. To allow for the circumcision movement to take hold, you enter into a new and separate covenant than that which is established by the shedding of Jesus' blood. Jesus shed his blood that we be redeemed from the law. Don't live by the rule of the law, but live in gratitude that you fulfill the law by loving and following Jesus Christ, where the Spirit gives us power. Once you move from depending on faith for your eternal life with God, you will experience a wall of separation from Christ, and you will no longer be eligible for God's amazing grace. It is an inferior and temporary measure that faith in Christ renders meaningless and pointless. He says, once you've found faith in Christ, don't turn away from it. Don't lose it. So Paul once again uses analogy in these texts. Who cut in on you? You were running a good race. Here you go, running a race, right? You ever watched a 5,000 meter event where they're all in a bunch and then they start to run and they start running around the track? And if you sharp elbow, you know, you can knock someone off balance. You can cut in front of someone, you know. Therese is nodding as though she's been doing it, but you're definitely a runner. But, you know, running a good race, it's Paul loves this kind of analogy. There's running and running, and if they are neck and neck, any cutting in will cause a collision and a fall, and that will cause them to lose. The same thing can happen with racing cars. You look at racing cars, you know, going around the track. You know, they're always trying to get an advantage on the other, trying to cut in on the other, get in front of the other, get a lap ahead. You know, a racing car analogy is just as good. Paul is always trying to be congruous with human experience, and we are all trying to think about that. So there are people, the circumcision party, entering into the Galatian experience, into their churches, into their communities, and they're trying to knock them off track. They're trying to get them in a different track. And Paul is seeking to counteract this lobby group. Now, I'm going to use a slide here. Again, you have to forgive me, because I'm going to use, being a cat person, I'm going to use cats again. Here we go. The lobby group. My cat came out of nowhere, became my everything. That's kind of the story Hillary and I have of Hazelnut, a cat we left behind in Michigan, came out of the woods. But a lobby group of cats for cats would say cats are the best animal. But if you're a dog person, you're going to say, no way, I don't believe that. Or if you're a non-pet person, you're saying, I don't like any animals. Or the animals are good outside the house, don't let them in. Paul has the circumcision party in this the letter of Galatians, the circumcision party are a lobby group. It's like they're going to say, listen, come and join our group. And they are present and in person, and Paul's far away writing a letter. So he's trying to make his appeal forcefully. He uses some forceful terms along the way, and he's staking everything upon his own personal relationship with them. He knows the Galatians. He met them. He loved them. They're like brothers and sisters to him. They're part of his family. So he's saying, my personal relationship with you is to love you and to say to you, don't get knocked off track. Don't get persuaded by this group. Stay on the road. Follow the door of Jesus Christ and trust in him. And, you know, the temptation for them is that they would follow a different way. And I'm using this slide, okay? Please forgive me for my analogy. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. It would be as though we were to start a yellow shirt religion. You have to wear a yellow shirt to be part of our group. And you have to show up with shaved heads. So I have Luc Picard in there. Shaved heads. And we were talking about no hair. Ellis, you were talking about no hair. So there you go. You're in this slide. And then we are all going to ride riding lawnmower tractors. And we're going to read the phone book as our Holy Bible. Now, I'm sure that our brother Jeff would encourage us in no uncertain terms to change that. He would be forceful in writing to us and encouraging us to remain true to the gospel we have been given. If he was writing from Arizona, you know, he would say, don't do that. Don't go off and be crazy. That is why Paul says things like, mark my words in 5 verse 2. I, Paul, tell you that if you allow yourselves to be circumcised, then Christ is of no value to you at all. It's law or faith, life by the flesh or life by the Holy Spirit of God. Making your own, and if you're living by the law, you're going to make your own righteousness. You're going to have to do it yourself. Or you are a recipient of God's amazing grace and you receive God's gift to you through faith in Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, the ones who are cutting in on you, that cutting in the race, you know, that person who, you know, a good racer on a racetrack who's not going to cheat won't cut in on you. But he says, these people, they don't have good intentions, they have a bad agenda, they're going to pollute you, they're going to contaminate you. The people are like the bad yeast, the ones throwing you into confusion. And Paul says, trust me, listen to me. They have put aside the offense of the cross, which is that Jesus Christ, Son of God, was crucified and did die in our place. The gospel, the good news. They're saying that's null and void, that's not any good. And if they do that, they deny the life of the Spirit, and you end up in slavery, in chains again. And Paul then is saying something very strong. As for the agitators, he's talking about that lobby group, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. So he's really using strong language. Again, I'm saying Paul is really trying to get a point across. And that's kind of a gruesome example, but he just wants them not to be polluted. See, it's pollution. He said it's they're going to get contaminated. They're going to be full of pollution. They're going to be going, they're going to push the Holy Spirit away, and they're going to follow the way of the law, and they're going to have to follow a rule that is going to bring death. It won't bring life. The freedom you find in Christ means that outward things cannot define us. My slide here, outward things, looking fancy and looking nice. The outward things don't define us. There are things you can do to look respectable and certain norms that help us in our daily lives. It isn't like we throw out the idea that we try to present ourselves in a good way to others. We don't want to turn people off by being someone who doesn't shower or someone who doesn't change their clothes or things like that. But the externals do not define us. The yellow shirt, the driving the tractor, whatever. You know, walking by the Spirit and serving our neighbor in love is coming from out of the inner self. It makes us who we should be. What comes out of our inner conscience, our inner self, can defile us unless the Holy Spirit is producing the good fruit. There are unworthy thoughts and words and actions that make us contaminated, make us unclean. We can deny Jesus Christ and drive away his Holy Spirit so that we are then unfit for the kingdom of heaven. But what Paul is trying to remind us is that this life is a preparation for a future life. So we seek wisdom. We seek being sober, people who are not addicted, not caught up in a bondage. We seek goodness, being able to help the world, help the people around us. We seek self-control, knowing that there are boundaries, that we can enjoy the things of life, but there are things we can do in excess. And all of these things come from our walk with the Holy Spirit and staying in step with him. We want to grow the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I've got beautiful fruit up there. Peaches and apples and cherries. And they all grow in the beautiful state of Michigan that we came from. Why did we ever leave? Good fruit there, fruit stands. But anyway, Paul warns this, that I said I was going to talk about the things that pollute you. He says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul is very clear. He's making a line. He's saying life in the Spirit is going to be in contrast to this life of the world. And The first thing he's really talking about, I love the analogy of this. Someone said what they were trying to teach, you know, a healthy sexual life for young people as they're growing up. Keep the fire in the fireplace. Keep the fire. There's a fire. Natural fire was part of our makeup. But he says, save it for marriage. Keep it within the holy bonds that God has set for us. And it will, you'll be helpful. It will be productive and good for you. He knows that sinful human beings can get out of control in that. And he's saying to us, learn discipline and self-control and be respectful to others and honor them above yourselves. That will be all part of your humility in Christ. Being humble and following Christ means we are seeking to serve. And he says, be careful of polluted evil influences which quench the Holy Spirit or offend the holy nature of God. They will land you in trouble, and you will become enslaved to destructive forces that will do harm to yourself and to others. Let me just go back to the Reformation times. When Martin Luther was preaching and John Calvin were preaching, at that time the church had invented something we called indulgences, which is basically you could do anything you wanted during the week in all kinds of sinful, kind of despicable things, but you could then go and purchase an indulgence from a priest or from the Catholic Church in some form. It will give you a carte blanche clearance. You're forgiven. No matter what you did, you didn't have to live the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He said the indulgence was a crazy idea made to give people cover for what is unclean and impure action. And he says that's not the way it is. When you live in Christ, then you are producing the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And you are full of love and joy and peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And those things come from being made righteous by Jesus Christ in a once-for-all kind of thing, but you receive it by faith, you follow it, and you begin to grow, and you begin to develop. And you never say, you know, one thing I always say is I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I've chosen to follow him. He is my teacher. And even though I've been to seminary, and I've been a pastor for a long time, I am still a disciple, just like you. You and I, we're the same. We're all following Christ. And we need to grow in him. We need to have him convince us and convict us of where we can grow more. And we need each other. We need each other in the community of faith to be able to grow these fruits, these wonderful fruits. Because if a person is like this, please show them to me. Because we're not there yet. But there are people who are tremendously loving. And they rub off on us. There are people who have tremendous joy, you know. The glass is half full versus the person says the glass is half empty. And there are all kinds of, those people live in our church too. We're not always going to be full of joy. We're going to experience, you know, people experience depression. They experience disappointment. They experience lots of things. And peace. There are people who have tremendous peace. And they are always helpful to you. And all those fruits will grow as we follow Christ. The only thing that counts in the end is faith expressing itself through love. There we will find freedom. Freedom in Christ. Freedom where we won't be bound by any chains that are dragging us down, but we will be free and ready to live for him. Remember that in Christ, we live our Christian freedom by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's my point, my message today. And I thought I had another passage in here. Sorry, let me go back. Which was that the only thing that counts in the end is faith expressing itself through love. That's chapter 5, verse 8. Chapter 5, verse 8. Paul is saying that love is what matters. And I love that great and simple song, "They shall know we are Christians by our love." In all humility, free of conceit. Micah 6, verse 8, a great passage, right? What does it mean to know the Lord? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And then you will be free, free to love and serve our God, free to love and serve your neighbor, and a freedom that nothing can take from you. Amen. I'm going to offer up a prayer response, and we're going to have the Lord's Prayer on the screen as a close after that. Dear Lord, thank you that we can all follow Christ and learn to act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our Lord, our God. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit working within us to make us fruitful in all kinds of ways. The fruit which is delicious and wonderful to eat. The fruits of love and encouragement, of peace and joy. Thank you, Lord, that we can worship you together and honor you, our Lord, for what you have achieved for us on the cross. Help us in our trust and faith in you that leads us into amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a sinner like me. Let us now together say the prayer the Lord taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.